Today we're talking about snared by words, and I probably could have came up with a better title than that, but sometimes we get tripped up with our words. We say some things that we shouldn't be saying, and so I want to address some of that and encourage you with that today. Reading from Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2, it says, "You are snared by your words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth." Now, this verse is telling us that you and I are snared. This word snared in the Hebrew means captured. We are actually taken captive by the words that we speak out of our mouths. And it says that we are taken by the words of our mouth, which literally means we are taken prisoner by the words. You know, if we can be taken prisoner by the words that come out of our mouth, don't you think it's also possible to be set free by the words that come out of our mouth? Amen. So think about during this message today, what words are you speaking on a daily basis? Are you speaking words that bring you into captivity, or are you speaking words that set you free? Well, the Word of God, the Bible says, sets us free. We'll know the truth and it'll make us free. So that's what we need to be after. Now, I began to think this week about the trap the enemy lays for us. And here's the trap. It is in getting us to speak things that we shouldn't be speaking. We need to know this, that there is great power that flows out of the words of our mouth. As a matter of fact, I would say one of the greatest, if not the greatest power in this earth is the power of words. Now, I know that science and NASA and some of those folks probably wouldn't agree with you. Every time they sent a shuttle into outer space, they would say, no, that's great power. Or those who have harnessed nuclear power and would say, well, that's great power. But I would still hold to the fact that I believe that the greatest power on earth is the words that come out of our mouth. Because out of our mouth, we are able to release or we're able to bring into captivity. How many of you have had experiences, and please don't raise your hand or anything, but how many of you have had experiences where you was having a really bad week, bad day, just feeling really hard-pressed, and you just kept saying some really bad things about yourself, and just talking negative, and you know what you were doing all that time? You were bringing yourself into captivity. But then all of a sudden you get a hold of a verse of Scripture and you'll start thinking about that verse and meditating on that verse, and then you'll start, I'll use the word repenting. Repentance means to change your mind. Start changing your mind about some things you had been saying, and then you'll start saying the Word of God, and all of a sudden you feel freed up. Do you know that didn't happen because, and I don't want to make light of this, so please understand where I'm going. It's not that all of a sudden you were in this mighty church service and the power of God came along and set you free. That can happen to some degree. But in reality, you can set your own self free. God has given us the Word. He has given us the Word, and you can set yourself free by reciting the things that are in it. So we have great power that flows out of our mouths. I want to go over some scriptures quickly. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, "Keep your heart," and this word heart is used very widely for the word feelings, refers to feelings, the will, and even the intellect. So even in the Old Testament, we see that heart really can be translated mind. Because our heart, you know, you're hurting my feelings. How many of you ever said that? You're hurting my feelings, and your heart just feels broken because someone said something that hurt your feelings. But really, it's not your heart that's broken. Boy, we've really played with that expression over the years. It's your mind that got messed with. Your mind, my feelings got hurt. My emotions got crushed. You just really crushed me. You crushed my heart. No, just messed with your head. Yeah. And then your will and your intellect. So he's talking about your mind. He said, keep your, let's just say, mind here with all diligence. So being diligent to keep or protect or guard our mind is really important. He said, for out of it springs the issues, or issues is also translated outgoings in the Hebrew, of life. Here's another thing I found in the Hebrew, that out of our mind, the boundaries of our lives are established. I want you to think about that. Boundaries are set by the thoughts in your mind that are released out of your mouth. You're setting boundaries. Every time you say, I'm just no good, I'm worthless, I will never make it, I'll never amount to anything, you are setting boundaries, and those boundaries limit you for at least a time. But every time you declare, I am the righteousness of God in Christ, every time you declare, whom the Son has made free is really and truly free, you also release the boundaries. Now keep in mind, negative words produce boundaries that keep you bound to a certain limitation, but words of life, the words of Jesus, actually remove the boundaries. There is no limits in God. No limitations. So with one type of words, we can set boundaries that hold us back. With another type of words, we can actually remove the boundaries from our lives. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19 says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you. You say, well, I wasn't there in Deuteronomy, so that's not about me. Well, it's not unless you put yourself in this position. And he said, I have set before you life and death. Everybody say life and death. He said, also I've set before you blessing and cursing. Everybody say blessing and cursing. And he says, therefore, because I've given you all these options, he said, therefore choose life that you and your descendants may live. Now, how many want your descendants to live? That doesn't just mean breathing air. Matter of fact, let me tell you what the word live here means. I'll have to turn my book sideways because I did a lot of writing after the fact. The word live here, he said, choose life so that you and your descendants may live. The word live means revive. It means keep. It means make alive. It means give the promise of life. It means nourish. It means preserve. It means quicken. It means repair. It means restore. And it means be whole. That sounds a whole lot like salvation. You ought to read that in the Hebrew. That you, by choosing life, you and your descendants will have all that stuff. How awesome is that? By choosing life. Well, what happens when I'm not speaking words that produce life? Remember what John, I think it's John 8:32 said. Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. You say, well, my Bible says set free. Well, whether you're in the King James or the New King James, really is immaterial. The Word of God, the truth that comes alive in you will make you free. And he said that that is the kind of words that produce life. So choose life. But when you choose cursing, it'll do all the opposite of those things I just read you. So you say, should we really be so picky as to watch our words? Well, you choose. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Here's a clue. Choose life that you may live. All right. And I love that last one. Be whole. Huh. How many want to be whole? Always, every day. Well, choose life. All right. Now, when we choose, here's what's happening. We know that those choices are made with our mind, our will, and our intellect. So, you know, for too long the church has lived in the heart mode, thinking about the heart. I know we're talking about the core of our being, and I'm not absolutely sure that your mind, you know, that he's talking about your brain that has all its function, but wherever your mind is or whatever, we need to focus more, less on the heart and more on the mind, because there is so much stuff that goes, you know, Jesus came into my heart. Well, he probably did, but just for the sake of no argument, he came into your mind too. Your mind didn't all of a sudden get changed. You had to do some work. You had to go to work and you had to get on a crash course and study for an exam, the exam of life, and renew your mind. That word in Hebrews, Romans 12 too, actually that word renew is translated in the Greek, renovate. We had to renovate, man. We had to strip some stuff away. Well, to do that, it takes the help of the Holy Spirit, but also it takes some decision on our part. Not decision in my heart, decisions in my mind. And I don't want to take away and mess with your theology too bad, but the truth is the truth. All right, well, it's still the truth. Y'all can be silent, and it's still the truth. James 3:10 says, out of the same mouth. Did you notice that God gave you two ears? God gave you two eyes, two nostrils, one mouth. Can you imagine? I mean, probably when all this stuff was being designed, thought about, well, why don't I just give them one eye? Oh, well, we'll give them two eyes so they can see this way and this way. But he only gave us one mouth. That kind of looked funny if you had a divider here and you had two mouths. And so out of this mouth you can speak one thing, and out of this mouth you can speak another. No, you got one mind, and out of that one mind you make a choice as to what comes out of this one mouth. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. In other words, it should not be right in your life that we will speak blessing and then turn around and speak cursing. I want to read you one more, Proverbs 18:21, that says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. This word power also can be translated control. That death and life, both death and life, both blessing and cursing, are in or under the control of your tongue. So are you telling me, Pastor, when bad stuff happens in my life, that it's because I'm speaking it? Not always. There is a devil that hates you who is inspiring others, and stuff comes at you, but just because it comes at you doesn't mean it's something bad in your life. Even if a family member or a good friend or a financial situation is coming at you, you still get to choose. Am I going to let that impact me and become a part of my life? And all this time, your mind's going crazy. Look at this bad stuff they're doing. Look at how they're acting. Boy, they're really pressing me for finances. The doctor's giving me a bad report. He says I'm not going to make it. Well, guess what? At that point, it's just a thought. I'm thinking about, I'm processing this information. Doesn't matter what the situation is. But from that point on, just in case you never spoke anything bad in your life, from that point on, you have a decision to make. Do I choose life or do I choose death? Do I choose blessing or do I choose cursing? What choices do I make? Now, more than likely, we all came up with some degree of religion where we were taught to speak bad things. So, in essence, yes, our lives are a result of what we've spoken. But let's just take away all the past, and from this point on, when an opportunity faces you, are you going to choose life or are you going to choose death? Are you going to choose blessing or are you going to choose cursing? You mean to tell me, Pastor, if the doctor gives me a bad report and says you've got this incurable disease and you're going to die, that I should just say nothing? No, tell someone. The doctor said. You know, I always make sure I give the credit to those that said it, not to me. The doctor said, you have this incurable disease. I remember several years ago when the doctor said that you will never get better, but you will just continuously get worse. I'm glad I didn't buy that. Like, you know what, even in the situation I was in, and maybe this will help someone here today, I made sure to give the doctor the credit for what he said. I wasn't saying it, he said it. So if you tell someone, the doctor said, I mean, you come to church and we can get a word of knowledge and say, recently, the Lord says the doctor told someone here that he gave you a bad report and says you're going to die, you have an incurable disease, and someone say, you know, and not say a word because you don't want to give it away. No, go ahead and say, the doctor said. Just make sure you identify where the report came from. So if the doctor said you have an incurable disease and you're going to die, let me just ask you this, what do you say? You can say this, well, you know, I have been feeling bad, so I really do agree with the doctor. Or you can say, in spite of what the doctor's report was that was just given to me, I believe that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, that Jesus took my sickness and my disease, and I am healed, and so therefore I'm going to choose life, I'm going to choose blessing, and that's all I'm going to speak over my life. I think it was one of the last times that I ministered. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about John and Dodie Osteen from Texas, I believe. And Dodi Osteen, they were pastors for years. They were in a fundamental denomination and became spirit-filled and became Word of Faith pastors. Some of our greatest noted Word of Faith pastors. And John Osteen is dead now, but Dodi, who is still alive, you'll recognize Joel Osteen, who now took over their ministry. And Dodi came down with cancer. And Dodi was not going to let anyone speak any garbage to her in spite of the doctor's report. So here's what she did. She locked herself in her bedroom. I mean, she kicked John and everybody out. Get out of my room. And went in there with the Word of God. And I believe the report was that in 3 days, she was completely healed of cancer. So what did she do? She chose life. She chose blessing. Well, Pastor, how do I know what to speak when it comes to life and blessing? You've got a book. I remember when I was a young minister and we had left the state of California and moved to Missouri, and I started getting revelation in the last church I pastored in our denomination, and about 1981, 82, and I started getting revelation about some things that my denomination didn't teach me. And here's the statement I made. I got furious and said, my pastor never taught me that stuff. God said to me, you had a book, didn't you? So you can blame everybody else when in reality you've got a Bible. And if you'll get in this Bible, the truth is you will find out about life and you will find out about blessing. Now there's some more stuff in there, but so he says death and life are in the power under the control of the tongue. And he says, those that love it, and this word love refers to that you love it like a friend or like it like a friend, said we'll eat its fruit or whatever the words that come out of your mouth produces. So in reality, when we speak words, if we speak death, then that means things around us die. Our financial position begins to have characteristics of death. It begins to decay. See, a person doesn't just get up one day and die. It can happen, but for all practical intents and purposes, the things we're speaking start producing something. And so they start, our financial position begins to decay and begins to go downhill until we can actually experience financial ruin. The same thing in our health. We can be as healthy as an ox, but because we never ever got any correct teaching, we will actually say some things. Well, I'm just, you know, it's flu season and I'll probably get it. Whatever's going around this year, you know, I'll probably get it because everybody else is getting it. You know, and our parents have told every one of us, you know, well, if your friend jumps off a cliff, are you going to jump off a cliff? Anybody ever heard that? You know, well, if your parents jump off the roof, are you going, well, everybody else is getting it, Pastor. And so we start speaking things that cause our physical health position to begin to deteriorate until you actually, by the words of your mouth, can put yourself in a grave. Well, if that's true, and you seem to believe that today, then what about speaking the opposite? What if about we just address our entire financial and physical situation with life? With blessing. If we do that, the same way it deteriorated, it could just continue to get better and better. God doesn't want you to live from one miracle to the next. God doesn't want you to live from one healing to the next. God wants you to be whole and always be whole. In the early days of the Word of Faith, my learning, we called it divine health. Just walking in divine health or walking in divine wealth. God doesn't want you doing without. If you've ever gone without a meal, not because you chose to, but because you didn't have any choice. If you've ever gone without gasoline in your car and you had to walk somewhere, not because you wanted to, because you loved to walk, but because you didn't have any money. If you ever couldn't afford to go to the doctor or do whatever you needed to do, here's the truth. Continue to apply the Word of God. Continue to speak blessing. Continue to speak life. And I don't have to promise you this, but I'll get in agreement with God and promise you this, that the Word works and it will produce life for you. It works. You say, well, I'm not experiencing it right now. Well, don't give up. Tomorrow's another day. Hang in there. All right. The power to destroy you does not lie with the devil. I want you to hear that because I'm almost going to reverse that in a moment, but I want you to hear the in-between here, and then we're going to show you how that can work for you. The devil does not have the power to destroy you. It does not lie with him. If that's the case, then we make him up to be some big bad guy that can just, in a moment's time, snuff you out. You say, well, you never know. People will say, you never know what's coming tomorrow. Why, I'm here today and I could be gone tomorrow. Well, whatever your faith is, so be it unto you. You never know. I could be just healthy today, and in a week's time, I could be in the grave. My health just deteriorate like that. Well, you know, Jesus often said, as your faith is, so be it unto you. But here's the truth. The power to destroy you is within your own mouth, and not so much with the power the devil may have. Well, what power does the devil have? We'll talk about that in just a moment. And I've heard this, you all have heard this, many Christians act like and talk like the devil is a big and powerful creature. I've heard people actually say to me, oh, don't talk that way, don't put the devil down, you better be careful because if you put the devil down, he'll get you. Well, you know, that's probably what you believe if you say that. But the truth is, I don't believe that. I base that one scripture, and I've used it a lot, is 1 John 3:8. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested or revealed that he might destroy the works of the devil. So Jesus came and destroyed the works of the devil on the cross. And here's what he did. He exposed Satan for who he really is. Well, I only got a few things of who he really is. You could probably come up with some more. But first of all, he's a liar. Are you hearing that? He's a liar. I'll tell you what else he is. He's a deceiver. Yes, he is. He's a destroyer. And all these are little letters, lowercase, because he's not that big and bad. He's a thief. He is the one who brings death. God doesn't have a death angel that visits you. The devil is responsible for death, at least producing death and even actual death. So in today's time, looking at all of that, in today's time, how does the devil work in us to trick us or sway us into speaking words that line up with his plan and not God's? Well, I'd like you to hear this morning. The trap laid by the enemy is in the attempt to get you to speak things out of your mouth that do not line up with God's word. Now, I'm sure I'm not the only one that's ever felt pressure in my life. And it's during those pressured times, if you're not established in the Word of God, you're going to speak whatever comes to mind. Whatever comes to mind may not be in line with the Word of God, and in reality may be what you've been schooled in all your life and never got it taken care of. I'm not going to make it. I'll never succeed. Well, if you heard your parents say that, or your grandparents, or your closest friend, if that's all they ever talked, and you never adjusted what you heard come into your mind, you will probably repeat the same thing. The Apostle Paul was once speaking about the importance of walking in forgiveness, and in 2 Corinthians 2:11, he said this, "Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Now remember, Jesus came and destroyed the works of the devil, exposing Satan's devices. So how are we not ignorant of Satan's devices? Well, this is the only way I know, by knowing the Word of God. That's the only way, because the Word of God exposes the devil for who he is. And so if you want to know about the devil, now I'm telling you, you can find more about God in this book, because God's not hung up on the devil. God is not hung up on how big and powerful and how bad the devil is. No, God doesn't have that hang up. Religious people have that hang up. Some of our background, there was that hang up. But God doesn't have that hang up. So how are we not being ignorant of Satan's devices? By knowing the Word of God. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." Jerry Savelle, it's not in your notes, but I think I mentioned this in the past month or so. Jerry Savelle, another noted Word of Faith pastor or minister, made this statement one time. He said, "It's not the storms of life that are defeating God's people." And so many times we think it's the storms that come against us that really bring our destruction. But he said, "It's not the storms of life that are defeating God's people, but it's a lack of doing the Word." Well, to do the word, you got to know the word. So he said that we're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So if we're speaking in line with the devil's mind, does the devil have a mind? I think the last time I ministered, we established that the devil has a mind. Also, the Holy Spirit has a mind. Well, you can listen to whichever mind you want to, okay? But the devil has a mind. And if you're speaking in line with his mind, then you need the knowledge of God's word to reinforce your thoughts or renew your thinking so that you can quickly adjust your mind or your thoughts and say what God's word says. So what would be a good example of that? So you're in a situation, it's not very favorable, and your mind begins to feel pressed. And you've been there before, so you're thinking about all the things you previously had gone through, thinking about, I'm really under pressure. What am I going to do? How am I going to... All that time you know the Word of God, but what am I going to do? How am I going to handle it? Well, according to 2 weeks ago's teaching, you can pray in the Spirit, because you're only going to pray the will of God. You're only going to pray perfect prayers. But you also, in that moment of time, you're saying, I can't deal with all this pressure. You actually could say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't feel like it at the moment because your brain is telling you or your mind is telling you, I can't deal with no more pressure. But you're making a profession out of your own will, out of your own intellect, and sometimes even out of a desperate emotional state, and you will say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How about this one? And I can tell you where these are found if you really want to know. But how about this one? Greater is he that is in me than he, the one that's trying to pressure me, the devil that's in the world. Greater is he that's in me. Greater, not less, but greater. So this pressure I'm feeling in my mind, I can begin to declare that greater is the Holy Spirit in me, not the pressure. When we don't acknowledge that God is greater, those negative words we speak acknowledge that the pressure is greater, that the works of the enemy is greater. Oh, but I thought Jesus destroyed his works. Yes, and he also redeemed us from the curse, but you can live in the curse if you want to. And you can revive in your own life. Don't put that on me, but you can revive. I've got my own struggles, but you can revive the works of the devil to work against you if you want to, or you can keep them at bay by agreeing with God's word. Now, I know this is true because I've been there myself. There are times that we'll release words that we wish we could take back. Anybody ever said anything and just instantly, just as soon as you release it, you said, boy, I wish I could take that back. And you already hurt someone's feelings, but let's start right here and say, Lord, I confess to you what I just said. I admit I did it, Lord, and I receive your forgiveness and just cleanse me of whatever prompted that dumb thing to come out of me and of all the unrighteous. And then you got to deal with the other person. But what that's being is irresponsible with our words. Hang in there. It gets better. And that's the sad part. It's many times that the things, when we speak words, the things around us, the people around us are receiving the overflow of our words. Even if you're just talking about you. Even if you're not talking about anybody else. You can be just in a bad mood, on the job, in a crowd of people that works around you, and just saying some really dumb stuff, and you're just mad at yourself. You're not even targeting the devil. You're just mad at yourself. And people say, I know they go to church. I know that person's a Christian. And you begin to affect their life also. So they're getting the overflow of the junk that's in you. So what do you do about that, Pastor? Well, you can get healed from all that stuff. You can get ministry from all that stuff. You can, at a moment's time, begin to profess the Word of God. And instead of letting that junk out of your mouth, judge it with the Word of God. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. How many know there's some thoughts that can come deep within the recesses of our mind? Sometimes there can be some thoughts that were just freshly planted by the enemy, just roaming around. And so we need to not be careless when releasing words. And many of them started with just a suggestion. The enemy, and I don't know that Satan directly delivered him because he's not omnipresent. So he sends out all these demons and they're just speaking this junk to your mind. Well, you know what to do with it. The Bible teaches us what to do with it. Well, how does all that stuff happen? Well, back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, and I love to teach on that whole passage there, but not today. It talks about how the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Anybody ever heard that verse before? I have some good news for you today that I just got revelation on this morning. He said the serpent. Okay, so this was the first unveiling before he was Lucifer, the most beautiful angel in heaven. But this is the first unveiling of him when he was cast down to the earth in the garden. And it says the serpent was more cunning, your King James will say more subtle, but more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Now, did you notice who he is more cunning than? Most people don't catch that, and I can't say that I've caught it before, but it says the serpent was more cunning than something. All the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made, Adam was created from the dust of the earth, but he made some beasts. So it's not referring to human beings. The devil is not more cunning than you. Well, I'll tell you who he's more cunning than. Cows. Pigs. Rats. Give him due credit. God made him more cunning than the fowl of the earth. Give him due credit. He's smarter than rats that roam around in your garbage. He's smarter than them ugly possums that lurk around. You could say, hey, devil, you're smarter than a swamp rat. But it does not say he's smarter than human beings. He's not smarter than God's created beings who were created in his image and his likeness, created to serve him. All right, so we see that he's cunning. The word cunning is generally used in a bad sense, and boy, definitely there, means crafty, prudent, or subtle, which means it can be difficult to defeat. Well, it can only be difficult to defeat the devil if you don't know the word. All right, but when you know the word, a scripture we heard last Sunday morning that was wonderfully presented, those that know God's word will do exploits, will do great exploits. That word exploits in the Hebrew means mighty deeds. You can do mighty deeds just by knowing the word of God. Whoa, Pastor, I'm not doing any mighty deeds. Well, get your Bible out. Get some CDs, begin to research, and begin to let that stuff come alive in you, and you'll start doing mighty deeds. So then the rest of verse 1 says, and he, the serpent, said to the woman, God has said, and indeed said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden. Now, God said more than that. That wasn't the whole story. But here was the thing. It's Satan that plants the first thought. Satan came to Eve and planted the first thought. You say, was he partially right? Really doesn't matter. He was not accurate. And besides, he should have challenged Adam on that. But he didn't challenge Adam on that. He's not going to challenge you if you know the word. It's like Jesus spoke the word, said it is written, and he departed for a season. Why? Well, he planned to come back, but he can't stand to be around someone that'll profess the word every time. You mean to tell me, Pastor, that the way to get rid of the devil is just to keep saying the word? He doesn't like the word. And especially he doesn't like somebody that knows the word, that knows its revelation. He can't stand people that know the word. And he'll get away from you just like he did Jesus. So he comes to plant the first thought, as he did with Eve. And I wanted to talk about that some more, but let's move on. So when we're in a battle or a confrontation with someone who is cunning, they'll try to persuade you into admitting defeat or giving up or to accept a lie that's been presented, even as Satan did here. So the devil wants you to believe his lies. The Bible says very clearly in the book of John that Satan is a liar, the father of all lies. There is no truth in him. So if there's no truth in him, then here's what I want to tell you. Everything he presents to your mind is absolutely 100% certifiably a lie. He can't tell you anything that's true. But Pastor, because he's a liar, there's no truth in him. But Pastor, when he says, I'm not going to make it, and I looked at my circumstances, and it really doesn't look like I'm going to make it. Here's the one thing you can be guaranteed about that what you currently see is subject to change, and it's a lie. There's no truth in him. In other words, you can change your circumstances with the Word. Hallelujah. I like that. Certifiably a liar. Glory to God. Now, when I was a kid growing up, I was the oldest of six kids. But for a while, it was just me and my two brothers, and we were very close to the same age. And then there was a gap, and then the rest of the kids were born. And one thing we did is a lot of horseplay, wrestling, and fighting, and goofing off. And the one thing that I always try to do is get you down, sit on you, get your arm up behind your back, and just, oh man, push it so hard that, and what they were trying to do is get you to say uncle. No, I mean, why didn't they come up with aunt or gazuntite or some other word? But it was always uncle. Say uncle. Well, what that word signified is that I give up. You can let go now. Sometimes they wouldn't let go even after you said it, but it's a sign of I give up. Well, here's the truth. Satan cannot win unless he gets you to give up. And when he presents lies to your mind, and even though you may have spoken them, you can change them. You can admit your fault or your error, and you can get that all fixed. But if you will get to a position where you just refuse to say anything but the Word of God, guess what? He can never win if you don't ever give up. Do you know Jesus, as he was on his way to Calvary's Hill, on his way to the cross, didn't give up? You say, well, why? That's a bad situation. Why didn't he give up? Well, he could have. The Bible said he could have called 10 legions of angels, 10,000 angels, and destroyed the world. He could have got out of that deal. But he didn't give up because there was something greater at stake than himself. Now, there's a message right there. There was something greater at stake than himself. Do you understand that 30 and 40 people keep coming, and there's something greater at stake here than just 30 or 40 people? There's a whole city to be reached. There are people that need to hear this message. The devil hates it, and I don't really care what he hates. We love the Word, amen? But we're not going to give up. When we're tempted to verbalize bad or negative thoughts and put them into words, immediately replace that first thought from Satan with, and think about God's Word. Is there a scripture for that? Yes, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, Paul says, whatever things are true. So assess what you're hearing in your mind and assess it by this verse and say, is there any truth to that? Well, it looks bad, but again, remember, everything in this life is subject to change. So it's not really the truth. If anything is true, whatever things are noble, is it noble to go under? Is it noble to be laid in a sick bed and helpless, an invalid? It's not noble. It's not noble at all. Matter of fact, if you let your mind get a hold of you, it's quite embarrassing. If you go under financially, it's quite embarrassing. If you have a falling out in public and the police come because there's a call for disturbing the peace, that's not noble. That's embarrassing. He said, if it's not noble, he said, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue or there's power, if there's anything that's praiseworthy or anything I can give praise out of this situation, he said, meditate on those things. Not one time will you find in the Word of God that God said, meditate on sickness. Not one time in the Word of God will you find that God said, meditate on defeat. Not one time will you find in the Word of God that it says, meditate on losing everything you have. The Bible does not say that we're to meditate on going under. The Bible says we're to meditate on things that give praise to God, that produce praise in our lives. Amen. So there's something to think about right there. How and what we think about and what we allow to roam around in our mind, I want you to understand, in spite of everything I've already said, is still subject to your choice. You mean to tell me, Pastor, in spite of what God thinks, I can choose what I think? That's right. You can choose to think dumb things. You can choose to think bad. You can choose to think negative. And we all have some of those thoughts sometimes. We don't have to give in to them, but they're there sometimes. And you can choose to keep them there. Now, a few months back, I was sharing on a similar message about words. And I said something similar to this. People will often say, and I've heard this, they say, if you're not careful, the devil will destroy you. Well, all that tells me is that a person really is afraid of the devil. Well, aren't you afraid of what goes bump in the night? Aren't you afraid of the dark? Well, I remember growing up, I was very afraid of the dark. I didn't want to be, I mean, I run to get where the light was. I was terrified of the dark. But anymore, I don't mind the dark, because darkness in my house has nothing to do with the darkness of Satan. If that's a problem for you, get rid of that, because the darkness, or another word for the darkness of Satan, would be the evilness of Satan, okay? That has nothing to do with whether the lights are on or off. If you don't want to be in the dark, turn the light on. If you don't like the light, turn the light off. But the truth is, the light is God's Word. The entrance of God's Word brings light, and Satan, that evil junk, is all about that type of darkness. So don't be afraid of that. But they'll say that, if you're not careful, the devil will destroy you. Well, it's not the devil destroying you that we're dealing with today, but it's you destroying yourself with your words that came from the thoughts in your own mind. So what do we do about that, Pastor? Well, it's not that we haven't dissected this verse 100 times, but in 2 Corinthians 10:5, he says, casting down arguments. Now, the King James Version says, casting down imaginations. Do you know what I get out of that? Have you ever had a situation come at you, and you acknowledge that it was there? I don't have enough money until the end of the month. I'm going to need some money. I'm a week away, and I don't have enough money. Okay, you acknowledge it. Now you have an opportunity to say, but my God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But instead, you begin to think, but what if it gets worse? Well, you know, this could happen. Now, we haven't spoken the word yet, but what if this takes place? And you begin to imagine all the worst case scenarios. I want to just say it to you again. At that point in time, if you can't speak the word, duct tape your mouth shut. Get some staples. Staple that, do something. But the truth is, that's an opportunity right there to cast down imaginations. And he says, casting down imaginations or arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So do my thoughts and my words obey Christ if I admit defeat? No, they don't. Do my thoughts and my words exalt Christ or fall into the obedience of Christ if I say, the doctor said I've got an incurable disease and I'm going to die, and I agree with him? Well, no, that doesn't fall into the category of the obedience of Christ. If the doctor says that, the way that I come under the obedience of Christ, submit my thoughts and my words to the obedience of Christ, is say, in spite of what the doctor said, I believe I will live and not die, and I will declare the works of the Lord. I believe that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, because Jesus went to the cross, took the stripes on His back, so I could have healing. Therefore, I profess that I am healed and I am whole. You say, but what if it takes days, weeks, months for a healing to manifest? What if it takes a few moments of you being sincere about the Word of God? What if in just the next breath, instantly, right there in the doctor's office, before you ever got out of there, you say, you know what, doc, the pain's gone. That discoloration where that thing was, that's gone. And you say, well, let me check that out again. Boy, it's gone. Why? Because instead of entertaining imaginations, I cast down imaginations. Amen? Praise God. All right. I have no idea what time I started, so let's just try to get to the end. I got something else I need to share with you here. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve surrendered their dominion, their authority to rule. Here's something really important. When we speak words that come from Satan, we give him a license or the authority to rule over us, the authority to work in our lives. We give him the authority to bring destruction to us. Now remember, Adam and Eve had the authority in the garden. They had the authority not just over the garden, but we've shared before, over the whole earth. But when they bowed to the lie, the first thought that came, and here's another lesson to be learned in Genesis 3, Eve actually entered into a dialect with Satan. Don't ever have a conversation with the idiot except to tell him it is written. Okay, that's your, you know, you can argue with the devil and you can have this, you can talk to him all day long and he'll talk to you. But that's not scriptural. Just address him with the word of God. Hey, bud, it is written. Besides, you're on the level of, you only have authority over a sewer rat anyway. You have no authority over a human being. You're not as smart as I am. I have the word. How do I know I'm smart? I have the word of God. Then use it. All right? Okay. So they released their authority to Satan by surrendering to this lie and verbalizing this lie in their mind. And so still today, Satan has the same M.O. And I had to look up M.O. because I don't have a police background. But the same method of operation. The same, what he did in the Old Testament in the garden and all through, he's still doing the same thing today. He doesn't have any new tricks. Now, if you can imagine this with me just for a moment, remember the Western movies when the Indians and the cowboys would make peace and they would take an arrow and break an arrow or a spear, so they came up with movies like Broken Arrow and so on and so forth. Jesus on the cross, when he died, went down into the belly of the earth, and he was patient for 3 days and nights because prophetically he was to spend 3 days and nights there. But when it was over, you know, one of the things I believe he did, not only did he take the keys to the kingdom back, but he also took all of Satan's tricks and broke them just over his knee. Now, that wasn't a sign of peace. That was a sign of you're done, bud. The Bible said that Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. And so he has that same M.O., except he's now using broken tricks. You ever tried to use something that was broken to do the same job it was intended to before it was broken? Doesn't work very well. You ever tried using a broken shovel or a broken hammer? It just doesn't work. Well, we know this. His method of operation, John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So you can know that that's the only reason the enemy comes is to steal, to kill, and destroy. Someone said, no, the devil is my servant. The devil, he'll do stuff for you. Yeah, he'll do stuff for you, put you in an early grave. The devil doesn't like you. Church, we need to get that out of our head. The devil does not like you at all. Matter of fact, if you were the rottenest sinner on earth, the devil still doesn't like you. When we speak words that line up with the devil's mind, we give him permission, the authority. We do the same thing that Adam and Eve done. Now, here's the beautiful thing. When Adam and Eve walked around in full authority in the garden, and all that got messed up, when Jesus, the second Adam, came, all of that was restored and more. But you can still undo it by agreeing with the devil. So we don't want to do that. Now, since we know that the Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, why should we find it a surprise that the devil would attempt to trap us with our own words? Don't be surprised by that. That again, that's his M.O. That's how he works. I remember saying this one time, and I even wrote it in a devotion or put it on Facebook or something, and it said this: if the devil had the power to destroy you, he would have already done so. Well, what stops him from destroying us? He's got to have your permission. You understand that? That's the only thing the devil needs to destroy you, is he needs your permission. Well, who in their right mind is going to look under their foot and say, okay, devil, I give you permission to destroy me? That's insanity. That's wrong. That's just wrong. That don't fit in the life of a Christian. But yet we would never say that, but we would allow out of our mouths, I believe I'm sick and I'm going to die. What did I just do? I gave him permission. I believe I'm going. I'll never make it. I've never been a financial success. My parents weren't a financial success. My grandparents weren't a financial success. So in spite of what the Bible says, I'm never going to be a financial success. What did I just do? I gave him permission. Well, if I don't do that, I have the authority. I have the authority to rule. I have dominion in this earth over my life. And I want you to know that. You have authority over demons, but the dominion you have is over your life. You can be in a crowd of 1 million people, and you can be that one person who succeeds when the other 999,000 choose not to. You can be that one. Why? Because the Word of God is true. So what brings so much destruction? Well, it was that little thought of aggravation toward yourself or toward someone else, and you release the curse through your words. You say, well, everybody gets aggravated. But what are you saying when you get aggravated? Do you know there's two ways to speak? You can use words, or someone said that, what is that, an expression? Somebody help me. That's a good one. We can let our attitude show. You know that? You can have a fit right in the crowd, and you might as well have just said it, because I'm glad you didn't. But the truth is, they get the picture. So let's not let even our attitudes reflect anything other than Christ. Let's not let our words reflect anything other than Christ. But that's how it happens. That little thought, that first thought of aggravation. And you just get so infuriated when you could speak that I have the peace of Christ in me. I'm not going to let this control me. It could be that little thought saying I'll never make it. That little thought saying I'll never get healed. I might as well just go ahead and die. You say, Pastor, people really don't talk that way. I know someone, a very close person to me to this day, says I'd be better off dead. I might as well just go ahead and die. I'm looking forward to getting it over with. You say, that doesn't sound like life. You're exactly right. We just read from Deuteronomy in the beginning of this message. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, choose life. And so many people want to choose death, which God didn't. It's going to happen one day, but you can live now. So that little thought that may have started out in your mind, but is now in your mouth. Let me close with this. For a thought in your mind to become a temptation to you and then develop into words, there must be that first thought that enters into your thoughts. Through a difficult circumstance, can a difficult circumstance cause your mind to begin to work? Sure. And it can evolve into words if you let it. How about this? Through a pressing situation. Anybody ever felt pressed before? Backed up against the wall. And sometimes, you know, have you ever said to someone, don't back me in a corner, man. You know, I'm just a lover, not a fighter. I'm a peaceful guy, but you back me into a corner. And so a pressing situation. How about this? An unpleasant experience, whether that was in your early life or whether that was today. An unpleasant experience in your life that caused you to follow through with those thoughts and put them into words. Or just an out-and-out lie of the devil. They all originate with that. But the devil will lie to you and get you worked up. What are you getting worked up about? A lie. Let me give you a clue. How about getting worked up about the truth? Excited about the truth. Praise God. So when we have not achieved some things in life, we get frustrated with that. When we've not become all that we thought we would become. Any of you as kids ever thought, when I grow up, I'm going to become, and you didn't get there. How about this? Either you just fell short and God just gave you a new plan, or God had something different for you all along. You know, sometimes we get so focused on our own thoughts and plans that we fail to see the plan that God has for us. All right. God sees the potential in us many times more than we see ourselves. God sees us by His grace. God doesn't look at us the same way we do unless we're looking through His Word. He sees us by His grace. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing. I can be confident of a particular thing? Yes, yes. He said that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. So the work that God's doing in you, He promises to complete. So you're going to get there. You're going to get there. Just hang in there. Keep speaking the Word, even when you don't feel like it. And when you mess up, you can go to God and get that fixed. Just do it immediately, all right? Don't let it become, as they say, a monkey on your back. Get it taken care of immediately. We need to guard our words and judge our thoughts. How do we judge our thoughts? With the Word of God. Every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God's Word. We talked about that a few weeks back, how that thoughts can exalt themselves just like Satan exalted himself. Our thought, that's how we know the thoughts that come from Satan. They exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. They'll tell you this is a better way when all the time you know, here's the Word of God and I know what I ought to be doing. So that's how we can do that. Judge our thoughts. And then guard our mouths that words don't be released that shouldn't be, except for the Word of God. How many glad for the grace of God? Even if you've blown it with words, you say, well, Pastor, my goodness, that's a strong word. I haven't been perfect. I've messed up. Welcome to the club. We're not going to put a sign out front that says, welcome to the mess up club. Huh. We've messed up. We've all messed up. But as long as we have the grace of God, we can still cast down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, even when we mess up. We can still, because of the grace of God, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Praise the Lord. We can still use our words to glorify God. You know, I've had some down days in my life. I never want to present to you that I'm all up here just because I'm a couple of feet higher. And I'm all up here and I got it all together. And it's, you know, some people actually said to me, well, of course you're perfect. You never mess up. The wool's pulled over your eyes. But I've had those times that I've said some things that I wish I hadn't have. And what I realize and what aggravates me so much, you say you get aggravated? Boy, I get beyond aggravated. Is when words come out of my mouth that glorify Satan. I hate that. I hate that more than I hate anything else, is if a word exalts Satan. I hate that because I know it came from a thought that exalted Satan. It was exalting itself against the knowledge of God's Word. I prefer to speak words that glorify God. Well, first you've got to have thoughts that glorify God. Amen? We are snared or captured by the words of our mouth. We are taken prisoner by the words of our mouth. When the devil lays a plan, a trap against us to speak things which do not bring blessing, do not speak blessing, we can adjust that with the Word of God. Our only hope is to rely on the grace of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit just wants us to hook up with Him. Just hook up with Him. Do you know it's not so bad, faith people? I know y'all are faith people, and sometimes you really feel like, I can handle this one. It's really not so bad to believe that everything I face, I've got to have the Holy Spirit to help me. That's not a bad thing. I mean, hook up with the Holy Trio. You say, that's disrespectful. They're the Holy Trinity. Hook up with the Holy Trio. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they live in you. Hook up with them. Stop trying to handle it on your own. Do you know what happens when you have thoughts that exalt themselves against God's Word? And then you begin to speak words that exalt themselves against God's Word? You're not hooking up with the Holy Trio. You're hooking up with the gutter rat idiot. Well, that don't sound too inviting, Pastor. Well, let's don't do that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's judge our thoughts and guard our mouths, what comes out of them. Anybody get anything out of this today? Say this with me. I'm not in crisis. I'm in Christ. Where I am right now, what I'm going through right now, is not where I plan to stay. I'm moving forward because I'm in Christ. Can you say amen? Amen.